Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 8. God willing, I intend for the next several weeks to preach on or from Romans chapter 7 and 8. But I'm not going to read both chapters. Romans chapter 8, and I'm just going to begin by just reading a phrase from Romans chapter 8, not even a whole verse here. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, the first part of it. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And let me begin by asking this question, because I think this is one of the fundamental truths of chapter 7 and chapter 8. And it may not be the most grammatically correct way to ask this question, but here's the question. Who is actually in Christ Jesus? Yeah. I happen to know from Scripture that there are many and there are few. And both of these groups are said to be on a way.
Yes, sir.
Right? A way. There are many that are on a broad way. Yep. Right? And then there are few that find this straight, narrow way. But they're all, this many and few, yep, are all, they're both on a way.
Yep.
They're both ways. There's two kinds of houses our Lord spoke of. Right? You have a house built on a rock, you have a house built upon sand, right? But you still have two houses, right? You have prophets, he spoke of, Matthew chapter 7. But you have prophets, some of them are false, and some of them are what? True. Then you have people who profess, and it's only of the negative. He doesn't speak of the positive so much, other than to say it's those that do the will of my Father. That's the positive part. But the negative is, he said, many will say unto me in that day. Yeah. He said, there's going to be many. It's the same many that's on that broad road.
Yes, sir.
That broad road is not the way of drunkenness and drug addiction and thievery. That's not even those two. That's not even, that's a different way, David. That's a third way. Yeah. These are the many who are on that broad way. And the fact is, these people expect, even right unto the end, they expect to be let in.
Yes, sir.
They think they're going to make it.
Yeah.
And then right at the end, when it's too late,
yep,
when it's too late,
that's it,
they're going to hear, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Who is actually in Christ? And I remember Scott Richardson saying years ago, and it stuck in my mind, and he quoted that passage where many said, "Well, knock." He said, "Lord, let us in."
Yeah.
And he said, "Christ won't do it."
That's right.
He said, "That scares me." That scares me. Because the fact is, these people preached in Christ's name.
Yeah.
They did many wonderful works in Christ's name.
Yes.
They cast out demons in Christ's name. And he never says, "Well, you were believing in a false Christ." No, it's in your name, the one they're standing before, right? And he still says, "Depart from me.
Exactly.
I never knew you." I can relate to what Scott Richardson meant when he said, "That scares me."
Yes, sir.
I remember him saying that I used to be prayed up, packed up, and ready to go. He said, "I ain't so sure now." Well, that may seem odd in light of this verse. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You know what? I always know that's true.
Yes, sir.
But I do not always feel that to be true.
Yeah.
I know it's true, but my feelings sometimes go contrary to that. And I ask that question, who is actually in Christ Jesus? What I hope to gather from this and to continue gathering from this is the answer to that question. Am I actually in Christ Jesus? And the point is, when I'm done and when we're done with this passage as a series of messages, it will not be so settled that we cannot ever again or need ever again ask the question, am I really in Christ Jesus? Because that's the point. That is the one to whom there is no condemnation.
Exactly.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them who?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Who what? To them who, or I'm sorry, to them which are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
See, the problem is, and this is in light of the whole thing here, chapter 7 and chapter 8, and while we cannot separate them or take them out of the book or this epistle to the Romans, yet these two chapters go hand in hand together.
Yes, sir.
Because I read this, and in light of chapter 7, that the point is, my question for me is, am I really in Christ Jesus?
Yeah.
If I am, I'm not condemned.
Amen.
But if I'm not, I'm condemned. If I'm in Christ Jesus, no matter how much I may feel to the contrary, if I'm in Christ Jesus, I'm not condemned.
Amen.
But on the other side, no matter how much I may feel to the contrary, I may feel, well, I'm not condemned. I'm okay. I'm safe. If I'm not in Christ, I'm still condemned.
Yeah.
Well, I believe on Christ, so those folks. They even had good works to back it up, didn't they? They had many wonderful deeds to back it up, didn't they? The problem was they weren't known by the Christ they were supposed to be in.
Yeah.
Huh? Now, let me just point out, and remember, chapter 8 is not just this first part, it's the whole chapter. And Paul's talking about who is actually in Christ Jesus. For instance, verse 14, for as many as. Is another way of putting that. For everyone who is, right? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The question is, am I truly led by the Spirit of God?
Amen.
That's the question.
Yep.
Those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Those who are led and His sons, they're the ones who are in Christ Jesus. They're the ones to whom there is therefore now no condemnation. So much so that Paul goes on to explain in chapter 8 that these people were foreknown of God.
Yes.
Right? But remember, Paul also tells us that we're also known of God. That's not the same thing. To be foreknown is to be foreknown.
Yep.
Which results in time, being known of God.
Yes, sir.
And remember, there's a group of people, Christ said, I never foreknew you and I never came to know you.
That's right.
You see? I never, ever, at no time or even in eternity, I never knew you.
Amen.
Now this phrase, that is this first part of this verse, this phrase has become a rallying cry for the once saved, always saved crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Rallying cry. You know, I believe that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The devils probably believe that too.
Yes, sir.
But it doesn't do them any good. Huh?
Exactly.
And I'd say there's going to be people who believe in that, who know that phrase. And there will be some of the very ones who are going to hear that, depart from me.
Yeah.
But there will be others who don't really have that sweet assurance that the knowledge of this passage or this phrase Mason brings, and yet they're going to be allowed in because they are actually in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
It's not whether I know I'm in Christ Jesus that makes me uncondemned. It's whether I'm in Christ Jesus that makes me uncondemned.
That's it.
It doesn't say there's therefore now no condemnation to them who know they're in Christ Jesus. Right?
No.
It says to them who are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So again, I say this phrase has become a rallying cry for the once saved, always saved crowd. But let me tell you something. I believe in once saved, always saved.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I mean, you either are or you're not.
Yeah.
You either believe that or you don't. Right? I know there are people that abuse that phrase, but nevertheless, that phrase is true. Bless God, if God ever saves you, you'll be saved from then on.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Amen.
I do believe in once saved, always saved.
Yeah.
But there are people who use that phrase and would substitute decisionism for salvation.
Exactly.
What they're actually meaning is, I believe in once you make your decision, you're okay forever.
Yeah. That's what they mean.
But remember, there's a lot of people who's made decisions and they ain't going to get there.
Exactly.
Right? That's what's scary about this thing.
Yeah.
It's not a decision. You got to really be saved. Mm-hmm. And you got, it's not, I hear it all, I got saved. No, you. If you got saved, then you haven't been saved by God yet.
Yeah.
You don't get saved. You have to be saved.
Amen.
Salvation is not what you lay hold of. It's someone laying hold of you.
Exactly.
Once saved, always saved. Almost all Baptists can get along in that phrase.
Oh, yeah.
But we can't get along in what we really mean by that phrase.
That's it, right there.
No, decisionism is not a substitute for salvation. Decisionism is not this dangerous. It is wrong. You're not saved by a decision. Now, God's people, once God lays hold of them in life and through the Scriptures, mainly the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, they begin to make many decisions.
Yes, sir.
Not just one, not just two. Their life then begins to be filled with decisions made.
Oh, yeah.
Choices made, right? But it's not the deciding or the choosing that saves you. It's God that saves you.
Amen.
So I said this phrase has become a rallying cry for some. But this phrase has become a motto for the defenders of singular doctrines. They're kind of like these once saved, always saved. But there are people who fiercely defend, I believe in the eternal security of the believer. No, they don't.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Because they believe that there was one time, these people who are in Christ Jesus, there was a time when they were condemned. I'm here to say this morning that according to the truth of Scripture, that these people, where it says, there is therefore now no condemnation. That would indicate to me there was a time of condemnation, right? But I'm here to say, even though that's true, it's also true they were never condemned.
That's right. Yes, sir.
You say, well, I don't understand that. Well, if you know God, or better, He knows you.
Yeah.
Okay?
Amen.
Maybe through this series of messages, you'll begin to understand what I'm talking about. Okay? But there is a truth in this, which these people, these who are in Christ Jesus, they have never been condemned by God.
Amen.
Now, there are even people who say they believe in election, who talk about the elect at one time being condemned. And then once they're saved, now they're not condemned anymore. That's a lie. God spared me. God delivered me when He chose me. And He chose me in Christ before the foundation of the world. And God being eternal, and this choosing being eternal as well, because it's according to the eternal purpose of God, right? Therefore, I was eternally delivered, chosen. It wasn't like there came a time in eternity that God chose. God has always chosen us.
Yes, sir.
There never was a space in eternity when God had not chosen us.
That's right.
Somebody says, explain that, can't do it. That's who God is.
Yes, sir.
He's eternal. That's why I'm saying a lot of people cry, I believe in the eternal security of the believer. No, you don't. Because you ask them if they believe in election. Oh, you mean that thing where God chose some people, not others? Yeah, that's exactly what I mean. Well, no, I don't believe in that. Well, you don't believe they're eternally secure. Eternal security can't have a beginning, or it's not eternal security.
Exactly. Right?
Right? Yeah. That's to say, well, God's eternal, but it was a time when God began to exist. He's just eternal from that time on. I don't cut it. Eternal means not only it doesn't have an ending, it means it didn't have a beginning. So there's only a few people that really believe in and hold to the eternal security of the believer. See, I believe the believer can know condemnation, but that believer's never, even before he believed or she believed, they were still never condemned to God. Hmm?
That's right.
Well, I just can't go that far. Well, you just can't go far enough to tell the truth then. You know, you want part of the truth, not all the truth.
Exactly.
They said eternal, and Baptists love this phrase, eternal security of the believer, and then they turn right around and deny what they claim to defend.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Somebody said, well, how do you know they were never condemned of God? Well, read the last part of chapter 8.
Yes, sir.
Right? Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. But now there was a time when we did not love God and we had not yet been called. Right?
Yes, sir.
But in spite of that,
yeah.
Look at what it says. For whom he did what? It didn't just say no, does it?
Uh-uh.
Whom he did for no. He knew him before he knew him.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. That's what it means.
Yep.
Right? The word predestinate means you had a destiny before it was ever determined.
Exactly.
I can't understand it. Doesn't matter. That's the language God uses to describe his eternal purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Now, if we just stop there, we say, he's talking about he foreknew us, he predestinated us, he calls us. But look at what it says.
Mm-hmm.
Moreover, whom he did also predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also, what? Glorified.
Amen.
This is all in the past tense.
Yes, sir.
So the person who in time right now, as we think of it, in time, who is here in this world, who is one of these people, who is at this time foreknown and predestinated only, okay? They've not yet been actually called,
yeah.
Yet in God's purpose, they've already been what? Glorified,
yeah.
Right? Because these things are joined together so that they cannot, not just should not be, but they cannot be separated.
That's right.
If I'm glorified, I had to be foreknown. And if I'm foreknown, I am glorified.
Amen.
Whether I've experienced it yet or not.
Exactly.
But then that's not just the point. What shall we say then to these things? If God be...
Yeah.
Right there tells you.
Yeah.
He didn't condemn us.
Exactly.
He was for us.
Amen.
If God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's glorified? Is that what it says? That's true.
That's true.
But Paul wants to make sure nobody... You don't have to wait to the glorification. All you got to be is what? Elect.
Yes, sir.
You see it? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that, what?
Justifieth.
Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for who? Us.
Amen.
This whole group of people.
Yes, sir.
Whether they by experience have come to experience certain parts of it or not, far as God's concerned, he purposed it for them, it's theirs. It's a done deal. It's done.
That's it.
This passage when it says, there is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, has some deep meaning. But it does not mean there was a time when God condemned me, then I somehow, whatever it was, found myself in Christ Jesus, and then now God don't condemn me. There are even so-called grace people preaching that. This right here tells me that even in eternity, even before the foundation of the world, God was for us. He was not against us. And let me tell you, if God condemns you, he's against you. You can mark that down. But if he's for you, you're not condemned. You might say, well, I ain't sure about myself. Well, God's sure about himself. He's sure about his purpose. And he's sure about his Son. His Son has already done what he sent him to do. He sat down and he's making intercession for us.
Yes, sir.
And I say, if you're here this morning, you're one of the elect, he's doing it for you whether you like it or not.
Yep.
He doesn't care. It's not up to you.
Yeah.
One of these days, he will call you.
Mm-hmm.
And you will know what it is to be called.
Yeah.
You're going to know what it is to be arrested, as Paul, apprehended by God.
Yes, sir.
And bless God, when he arrests you, he puts his yoke on you.
Yeah.
No, he don't handcuff you. He puts his yoke on you.
That's it.
He bought you. We're his. Lock, stock, and barrel. He owns us not only spiritually, David, he owns my body.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
This, I mean, even this body that's going to go back and rot, he owns it as well. You know, let me tell you, there's only a few of us that believe in the eternal security of the believer.
Yeah.
Now, this phrase is used also as a proof text by modern fundamentalist soul winners as a direct sign note from God that their converts are safe.
Yeah.
You did what I told you to do. You're okay now. There's no condemnation from God toward you. I wonder if we could have made little Esau, got talked him into a decision. Got him down the aisle to the altar. Got him to pray this prayer after me.
Yeah.
Got little Esau to give his heart to Jesus.
Yeah.
Huh? And just pray the sinner's prayer. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And let me tell you, we could have got him to do that, David, from now till kingdom come. He still was not one of God's elect.
Exactly.
Right? What if we would have convinced him to sing, Jesus loves me, this I know?
Yeah.
He'd have been deceived.
Exactly.
And we'd have been parties to it, right? That's why we got to be careful about teaching little kids to sing, Jesus loves me, this I know.
Yeah.
Right?
Because
bless God, you don't know it till he actually calls you.
Exactly.
You can't say it about yourself till he puts you in Christ.
Yes, sir.
And remember, it is of him that we are in Christ Jesus. Not of us, not of free will, not of decision, not of choice. It's not even of faith. It's not of repentance. It is but of him are you in Christ Jesus.
Yes, sir.
God does this. No, I guarantee you there were people that these men in Matthew, or people, I don't know if they're just men, but these people in Matthew 7, I kind of figure they probably won a few converts along the way, don't you think? And you remember about what Christ said about certain people who will compass sea and land to make one proselyte, don't you?
Yeah.
And when they've made a proselyte, they've made them twofold more child of hell than themselves.
Exactly.
So just being converted don't necessarily cut it if I've been converted to the wrong thing.
That's right.
You see, only the elect are saved.
Yeah.
But all of this group on these ways, all of them's been converted. That's why they're on these ways. The people on the broad way, they've been converted to the broad way.
Exactly.
And sadly, it's still, even now today, hard for me to get that out of my head because it was ingrained in me, and especially in Sunday school. But it's also ingrained in my heart and mind that these people on the broad road are you whores and you whoremongers and you dope addicts and you drunks and you thieves.
Yeah.
No, these are your pastors and your deacons and your church members.
That's right.
Jesus ain't talking about the immoral of this world. He's talking about the religious of this world. They're on a broad way.
Yes, sir.
And he ain't just talking about Arminian religion either.
Exactly.
Huh?
That's right.
He's talking about people who preached in his name. People who did wonderful works in his name.
Yes, sir.
People who cast out demons in his name. Mm-hmm. And they go, here, I never knew you. Somebody said, well, that don't give me no security at all. Good. Good. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge.
Amen. Yes, sir.
But nowhere do I read that once I got that knowledge, my fear can be gone then.
Mm-hmm.
Christ said, you better fear God.
Yes, sir.
Don't you fear these men. They can kill your body.
Oh, yeah.
But God Almighty can destroy you both body and soul in hell.
Amen.
Fear him. Fear him. I remember Scott Richardson again said, because every time I think of Matthew 7, I think of Scott Richardson preaching that message. That's when I first began to say, whoa, wait a minute. I've been lied to all my blessed life.
Yep.
You know? People have brainwashed me in this passage, and I have no idea what the truth was.
Yep.
They've told me a bunch of lies.
Yes, sir.
They had placed me on the broad road.
Yeah. Exactly.
But told me I was on the straight way.
Exactly.
Hmm? Yeah, that was the danger there then.
I
had heard from the false prophets, which are what?
Yeah.
Wolves in what?
Sheep's clothing. clothing.
Sheep's clothing.
Yes, sir.
We're not talking about your Arminians. Yeah. That may be them too, but they can be a Calvinist. Mm-hmm. Being a Calvinist don't save you. Yeah. Being a Calvinist doesn't mean you're a true prophet. Mm-hmm. It means nothing more than you're a Calvinist. You best have more than that.
Yeah.
You best have Christ. Mm-hmm. Now, there are people who think because they've been converted, I'm okay. A lot of people have been converted to the wrong thing.
That's right.
A lot of people have been converted to the right thing, but because it's not of God, it don't last.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? There's been a lot of people converted to the truth. By the truth itself, not by some lying free will Arminian, but they've heard the truth itself. They've responded to that truth. They've turned some of the things in their life around. They've made good decisions. You know what? But it don't last, right? When persecution and affliction comes because of the word, what does it say they do? They fall away.
That's it.
They go into apostasy.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Now, it's true. There is therefore now no condemnation, but it's only to them which are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And somebody said, well, point them all out to me. Can't do it. Sometimes the outward view of things ain't all that's there.
That's right.
I'll use what Joe read as an illustration of this. Think about it. Here's some men that were clean on the outside.
Yeah.
He didn't say you act like you're clean on the outside. He said you are clean on the outside.
Yeah.
You've cleaned up on the outside.
Yep.
You know, but on the inside, you're corrupt.
Yes.
But what if somebody looks like they're corrupt on the outside, but what if they're clean on the inside? Remember, Christ said, clean up the inside first.
Yes, sir.
First. Then the outside will begin to come clean, right?
Yeah.
Right? Then. What if I'm looking at somebody, Joe, and they look a little dirty on the outside, but what if God's cleaned them up on the inside?
Exactly.
Now, what if I see somebody and I say, well, they're cleaned up, they're clean on the outside. They believe in grace, they believe in sovereignty, but on the inside, they're full of dead men's bones. What if that's me?
Yeah. That's it.
Just because I'm standing here preaching to you, it puts me no further than those people in Matthew 7.
Exactly.
Right? They preached in his name. David, they've done what I've done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Huh? So that don't give me no security or no condemnation, does it? All I know as a preacher, I'm supposed to give everybody, you know, we want security. We want that peace of mind. We just want to feel like we're okay.
Yeah.
Well, you read how the Apostle Paul felt. The Apostle Paul continually knew he was not okay.
Yeah.
For he continually cried, and we'll talk about this later, continually cried, oh, wretched man that I am. Right? That's why I believe it's all right to sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the song that saved a wretch. That's scriptural.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Right? It didn't just say that saved a soul like me. It said that saved a wretch like me. Because I'm a wretched man.
Amen.
And I want to tell you something. I'm jumping ahead just for a moment. I don't ever get out of chapter 7 and then into chapter 8. Chapter 7, and I pray God, chapter 7 will always be a part of my life because it's important to you.
Yes, sir.
It's going to continually remind you what you are so that you don't trust in you.
Exactly.
And then chapter 8 is going to continually remind you who God is so that you trust in God alone.
Amen.
So that chapter 7 and chapter 8 are both true together all the time.
Yes, sir.
That's what it is. That's what it's there for. I'm not telling you, oh, you're such a wretch, but you can live a good holy life if you just get a hold of chapter 8. The more you get a hold of chapter 8, the more unholy you'll realize yourself to be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's it.
And no matter how holy you become, mm-hmm. Huh? Yeah. No matter how much you do the right thing, you know you'll be taught by chapter 7 and 8 as well, it's not I that does it.
Amen.
Right? And when I do wrong, do I admit it's wrong? Do I not see that the law says that I'm justly condemned? That the flesh, I should say, I said that wrong. That the flesh is justly condemned? Huh? Let me tell you something, the law still condemns the flesh.
Yes, sir.
The law will always condemn the flesh.
Yeah.
God has condemned the flesh. Yes. And one day God will get rid of the flesh, but not yet.
Mm-hmm.
But God has not condemned me.
Amen.
Oh, I know there's those, that's a cop out. You just want to have it both ways. No, I'm saying that both ways are true.
Yeah.
You see, when I sin, that's not... It's not because I'm a hypocrite, it's because I'm a sinner.
Exactly.
And when I believe God, it's not because I'm a saint, it's because I've been regenerated and converted.
Yes, sir.
And I mean a saint, I'm talking about I'm a personally good person. You see, I can relate. I'm just talking about just know. I can relate to what the Apostle Paul means when he says this, for I know, verse 18 of chapter 7, for I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing.
Amen.
For the will is present with me, but to perform. It doesn't say how. That's the problem. These people read these words men put in here, and they think that's it's not even there.
Yeah.
But to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that, I would not. That's, you can call a cop out. This is reality for God's people. Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. If you're in Christ, you have the right to say that.
Yes.
If you're not in Christ, you don't.
Exactly. That's it.
Somebody sounds like to me, God's kind of unfair here. No, God's gracious. Fairness ain't got nothing to do with
it.
You
don't want fairness.
Had nothing to do with fairness.
Yeah.
Has to do with grace and mercy. Somebody said, but I want to get over this old wretched man that I am. Well, we will. We will. Look at it. Let's read it. Chapter 8, verse 18. Yeah, we'll get over it one day. Now, some people say you get over it by getting out of chapter 7 and getting into chapter 8. Now, here's when you'll get over it.
Yeah.
Verse 18 of 8, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. What? Not just to us, but where? In us. Now, what's in us right now?
Yes,
sin, right?
Oh, yeah.
And the suffering, everybody thinks Paul somehow talking about suffering for fighting for Christ. No, he's about talking about suffering in the body of this death.
Yeah.
That's the context of this.
Mm-hmm.
He says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And when he's talking about the creature, he's talking about God's creation.
Yeah.
All of creation. It groans and travails. That's what he says. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together under that. We're all under the curse. Even being in Christ and not condemned, I'm still under the curse. God has not lifted the curse from them who are in Christ Jesus, just personal condemnation. The curse is still, I still, if I go grow my own food, Jay, I still gonna have to deal with the briars and the thorns and the thistles just like the reprobate would.
Yes,
right?
Sir.
And the rain that can nourish and the rain that can drown. And the sun that can bring warmth and heat and cause life to continue to spring up, or the same sun that could come and parch and dry and kill.
Yes, sir.
Just being elect, just being regenerated, just being converted doesn't take us out from under the curse.
That's right.
That's on this creation. It takes us out from under condemnation.
Yes.
For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together unto now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within our... He's still groaning.
Yeah.
You see that? He ain't got over chapter 7, verse 24. He's still in chapter 7, verse 24. But he knows there's victory even now positionally, but there's going to be final victory as well.
Yeah.
Groaning within our... even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit. What does that mean, Paul? The redemption of our body.
Amen.
For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For when, what a man sees, why doth he yet hope for it?
Yeah.
But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience, what? Gotta wait on it. You want to get out of chapter 8? Just wait. You'll get out of chapter 8.
Yes, sir.
Chapter 7. I said that wrong. You want to get out of chapter 7? Just wait. You'll get out. But it will not happen till it happens for all of us. It will not happen till the body is redeemed. Oh, I know. You can read the commentaries. They're going to tell you, if you just listen to what I say, I'm going to gloriously tell you how you can now do what you want to do and what's good.
Yeah.
Huh? That's right. We're going to teach you how to be, rather than an old wretched man that I am, we're going to teach you how to be a holy, victorious Christian. What they're actually telling you, we're going to lie to you and deceive you.
Yeah.
And we're going to get you to thinking you're some real great self-righteous person, only you're going to leave the self part out of the righteousness. But the whole time you're going to think it's what? Self. So that's the whole point. Anytime we do anything truly good, it is not us that does it. It is God Almighty. It is the fruit of the Spirit is. If I ever, Joe, if I love you, if I really do, it's the Spirit of God in me. It's not Walter Pendleton capable of this. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness. They are the fruit. It's not the fruit of the Spirit being in me. It is the fruit of the Spirit. As one preacher said, God's fixed it this way. So that anything bad in us, we cannot blame God.
Yeah.
He's also fixed that if there is anything good in us, we can't take credit for it.
Exactly.
Somebody says that kind of leaves us out of the picture, other than just not being condemned. Yeah, it does.
You got it.
That's the whole point.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Because I know that the law is holy, just, and good, and the law says I'm a sinful creature.
Yes, sir.
I know I'm a wretched man. And that's just the way it is. And I can't change that. Now, does that mean we're supposed to then just let the wretched man do whatever he well blesses pleases? No. Ain't what he says either, does he? Chapter 8, he says, therefore, brethren, because of what Christ has done, chapter 8, verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you're going to die. But if you through the Spirit do what? Mortify. Mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live, for as many as. Now somebody said, well, does that leave me to do it if I want to, or I don't have to if I don't want to? No, he's saying you will.
Yeah.
The if is in the sense of if you're really in Christ, if you're really doing this.
Yeah.
Because he says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Amen.
The Spirit does not let his people go. Let me put it this way, and it's probably not the best illustration, but it's the only one I got. We're on a very short leash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It may look at times as though we're out of the way, but you're not.
Exactly.
I'm not. God's got us right where He wants us.
Yes, sir.
And sometimes He allows us to remember, by experience, all over again, what we really are in ourselves.
Yes, sir.
God could keep us from sinning now, today, if He so wished. But the overall purpose is not that. He's going to continually remind us who we really are so that we continually trust in who He really is.
Amen. That's it.
That's not a justification for sin, but it is a reason why we're left where we are.
Yes, sir.
No, Scripture says God can withhold a man from sinning.
Oh, yeah.
There are passages, not just some general doctrine. There are certain people that God kept from doing certain deeds they would have done otherwise.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
You think God can't do that today?
Exactly.
Why does He not do it? Because He's going to continually let us remember who we really are.
Yeah.
We are wretched men and women.
Exactly.
The only thing good we have is who God is for us and what He's done to us. That's all we have.
That's it.
Nothing else. And the thing about it is, if this ever happens to you, this experience, this salvation, this conversion begins to happen to you, you'll want to be in chapter 8 all the time.
Yes, sir.
You don't necessarily, David, strive for it, but you hope for it.
Yeah.
You desire it, knowing that it won't ultimately come to the end, but that doesn't mean I give up the fight. Doesn't mean I quit stabbing the flesh, killing it here and there, mortify it, deaden it to the best of your ability.
Yeah.
Keep jabbing it. Job that thing to death if you can.
Yes, sir.
And if you got it, David, down, it quivers and you let go for a while and it jumps back up, stab it again.
That's it.
Why? Because we know we're not debtors to the flesh.
Exactly.
To live after the flesh. We owe God a debt.
Yes, sir.
We do. Can't pay it off. Can't even make a good down payment on it. But we still owe him a debt.
Yes, sir.
Right? It says, therefore, brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh to live after the flesh. The whole point is, if I'm not a debtor to the flesh, I'm a debtor to something, ain't I?
Yeah.
I'm a debtor to God.
Yes, sir.
In the person of his Son.
Exactly.
No. There are people who are in Christ Jesus. Right? There is therefore now no condemnation to who?
Yeah.
To them which are in Christ Jesus. The question is, and you've got to answer this for yourself, I've got to answer it for myself. We can talk about it, we can confer over it, but in the end, only you can know about you and only I can know about me. Are you in Christ Jesus?
Exactly.
Am I in Christ Jesus?
Yeah.
That's the point.
That's it.
Who is really in Christ Jesus? Father, I pray that as we go our separate ways, may we be mindful of one another. Not just think of one another as we're here together, but may we think of one another and pray for one another and long for the fellowship and that sweet communion that we have with one another, knowing that it's in thee and the gospel of thy Son. I thank you in Christ's name. Amen.